Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Friday, December 13th. I'm Orlando Montoya. On today's episode, attorneys representing people killed or hurt at the Fulton County Jail file a class action lawsuit. Syrians living in Georgia respond to the downfall of the brutal dictator Bashar al-Assad. And Georgia high school football championships are next week. We'll tell you what to expect for the rapidly growing sport of flag football. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. Several programs across the state in the spectrum of addiction care now know how much funding they're getting from the first year of grant-based awards from Georgia's opioid settlements. GPB's Sophie Gratis reports on the numbers announced yesterday at a board meeting of the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities.
The Georgia agency in charge of behavioral health programs has approved just over $70 million over 2 years for 128 projects. The money is part of the court damages paid by opioid distributors to the state. These projects are intended to address local needs in communities hard hit by the opioid crisis and required local input before final approval by the state trustee. Projects include overdose reversal training at a rural hospital and expansions to drug court programs. Most of the money is going toward recovery and treatment run by a variety of nonprofits, clinics, and universities. This is the first round of grants as opioid settlement money comes down the pike. Georgia and others are still in a holding pattern in lawsuits against Purdue Pharma, which was denied bankruptcy earlier this year. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
Georgia Senate leaders have started to outline specifics of their plans to reduce child care costs when they meet for the General Assembly next month. The Senate Study Committee on Access to Affordable Child Care met yesterday for the last time before the legislative session. McDonough State Senator Republican Brian Strickland said the panel is recommending improvements to the child care workforce, expanding access, and increasing funding for providers.
We can't fix this as state government. This is something that is bigger than us. The issue of affording child care has great impacts across our state. It affects individual families.
The committee also wants to expand state-funded child tax credits, an issue that could become a legislative priority this upcoming session. Presiding over the Senate, Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones says he's backing 3 tax credit tweaks. The city of Tybee Island wants visitors to pay more to improve the island's infrastructure. But as GPB's Benjamin Payne reports, the proposal faces several hurdles.
The popular beach town is turning to tourists and residents to share in the cost of future infrastructure projects, things like stormwater drainage and wastewater treatment. The revenue would be raised through a 1% sales tax on all goods purchased on Tybee Island. However, the city first needs state lawmakers to give the go-ahead in the form of a bill. Tybee Council members asked for just that at their Thursday night meeting, where they approved the town's legislative agenda for the new year. Mayor Brian West.
This would shift the burden of paying for that infrastructure to the almost 5 million tourists that come to our island, and not so much on just the residents who are currently paying for that infrastructure through our water bills.
Even if Georgia lawmakers authorized the sales tax, it would still need to be approved by Tybee Island residents in a ballot referendum. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne.
Attorneys representing people hurt or killed at the Fulton County Jail want to change conditions at the troubled lockup through a class action lawsuit. The federal lawsuit filed yesterday alleges the jail's violent and filthy conditions amount to constitutional violations, echoing findings the U.S. Department of Justice reported last month. Atlanta attorney Michael Harper says the time for findings and reports is over.
It really is about forcing change at the jail with the courts, because nothing else has worked up to now.
Fulton County Sheriff Pat Labatt addressed the DOJ report on Monday, highlighting the need to modernize the facility. Syrians living in Georgia are responding with a mix of elation, caution, and hope after this week's fall of the brutal Assad dictatorship. Dr. Ahmad Daba of Roswell, north of Atlanta, says he escaped from Syrian repression in the 1980s, before both his parents and 8 siblings were killed, along with thousands of others in a 1982 massacre. He plans to return to his country to help rebuild it.
Actually, it's like a dream. We couldn't believe it. You know, every time we think about it, it's, It's a joy. You cannot describe it.
Emory University student Ibrahim Juja says he has cousins that were jailed by the regime and are still missing. He says his family is waiting for the situation to settle before returning.
Of course, you know, things aren't very safe right now with, you know, Israel's bombardment and the invasions and instability. But, I mean, people just want to go home, especially see their families.
Both Al-Daba and Juja say they hope the end of the Assad regime brings stability and democracy to Syria. The Aikens Ford Arena in Athens says it will officially open its doors tonight for the home opener of the city's new professional hockey league team. The $150 million arena failed a fire marshal's occupancy test last week, causing the Athens Rock Lobsters to cancel their home opener twice. A spokesperson for the arena says it has been issued a temporary certificate of occupancy. The Rock Lobsters are scheduled to play the Mississippi Sea Wolves. Athens Legends, the B-52s, also are scheduled to perform tomorrow. The top marching bands from historically black colleges and universities will face off tonight in Atlanta for the Band of the Year competition. In Division I, North Carolina A&T University's Blue and Gold Marching Machine will face Florida A&M University's Marching 100. And in Division II, Virginia State University's Trojan Explosion will face Miles College's Purple Marching Machine. Only the teams ranked first and second in each division were invited to compete, but a Georgia band, the Savannah State Powerhouse of the South, was ranked number 5 in Division II. The Georgia High School Football Championships are next week. Yesterday on this podcast, I talked with John Nelson of GPB Sports about what to expect in tackle football this year. Today, GPB's Morning Edition host, Pamela Kirkland, spoke more with John, including the latest in the growing sport of flag football.
Joining me now is the man who's been all over every game this season, GPB Sports broadcaster John Nelson. John, thanks for joining me.
I go from here to Mercedes-Benz for the next 3 days, so it's going to be a fun ride, I'll tell you that.
We know where your home is going to be. So, John, Southeast Bullock High School's got a great story. McEachern High School has been ranked number one all season. But give us the lowdown. What are the matchups that you're watching this week?
I love all of my children equally. Come on now. I'm going to be watching all of them. Those four and all of the championship games that are tackle football. Hannah Gooden and I in the cast of thousands, the GPB Army, as Matt Stewart calls us. We're going to be there the whole time. I've just been really enthused about how the sport has continued to grow. This is the fourth season, and it's the first year that we have four separate divisions for championship games. So you get to see just in championship games alone how the sport has grown here in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the talent, too, because the level of skill on display in these games has just been so impressive. What do you think is behind this rise in competition and just the talent that we've seen across the board?
The attention to detail, and when you have all of these coaching staffs and these programs where you have multi-sport athletes that are diving into flag football, and you're now to the point where you are getting college scholarships to play flag football. There have been championships in the past where we've broadcast a game and a student athlete literally will get a college scholarship offer to play flag immediately on the field after the game is over. So the dedication to craft, the attention to detail, and just making sure that it is treated as serious as all of the other sports that are on our respective campus, that's what you're seeing, and the athleticism has been on display.
And for those who may not have tuned in before, what makes girls flag football such an exciting sport to watch?
Oh, it flies. It's like I'm going to date myself with this reference. Literally, it's like when you have a record player and the record player could either play at 33 and a third RPM, 45 RPM, or 78. It's like football at 78 RPMs, and literally it's action. Everybody's eligible. You've got to pay attention to the rules and all these kinds of things. We've had exciting games that have gone to overtime in the past to decide champions. So all of these things that go into this stew that is the championships, we get to see it. I actually had folks on social media reach out to us at GPB Sports and let us know that this was, meaning flag football, the addiction they didn't know they had when it came to watching sports until they started watching the championship games. And so it's fun to see folks get addicted to watching flag football. It's something that they didn't watch before. They watch it, they get hooked.
That's amazing. And I know you said you love all your children equally, but I want to talk about the first matchups we're going to see. What can people expect?
Southeast Bullock and Columbus. Southeast Bullock, they had not lost in program history. Brooklet, Georgia was one of the central points of flag football in the state of Georgia. Southeast Bullock had never lost a game in program history until the playoffs this year. 77 wins in a row. They're going to be playing Columbus, and it'll be good to see them. Greenbrier makes a return to the championships on day one. Pace Academy and Pope. Pope has a father and son coaching duo, and they're nationally ranked, and Pope is chasing after another title in back-to-back years. And then McEachern, they've been running roughshod over everybody, putting up a lot of points, and they're going to start day three of the championships with title game number four in Flag Division Four. So you've got offenses, you've got history, you've got pedigrees, you've got a husband and wife at Southeast Bullock, you've got a father and son at Pope that are part of the coaching trees. There's a lot of great storylines.
I'm going to have to look up foci because I may have just learned a new word. You can watch every game and catch John on GPB TV. You can also stream the games online at gpb.org or through the GPB Sports app. John Nelson, GPB Sports broadcaster, will be watching. Thank you so much for joining me.
Good to be the focuses of everything going on for the championships.
And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. Hit subscribe on this podcast. It'll help you to keep us current with you in your feed. If you have feedback, send that to us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya, sitting in for the vacationing Peter Biello this week. Peter will be back next week. Until then, I hope you have a great weekend.